Blog Talk Radio.
Well, 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 Sports City, what's going on? It's your boy TP Timeless here at the helm. And I'm going to take some time out right now, Sports City, right? I'm going to do this specially, significantly for y'all. That's right, the consumers, the people that are getting that good old food for thought, y'all to do these dishes now. Here we are, 2015. Now, I can remember back to about 2009, 2008. Floyd was fighting. Well, y'all already know which way I'm going. Floyd had a fight. Everybody pulling up this Manny Pacquiao mess. Everybody that I go up the top, you know, up top, up north, go down south, I'm hearing Manny this, Manny that, Manny this, Manny that. 5.5 years later, people, we are at the doorstep, the eve of the mega fight, May versus Pac. That's how they have it stated. However people want this to go down, I can't believe we are here. Like, we are literally 24 hours away for the melee to go down. Everybody here in Connecticut is going stupid right now. I already see how everything's going down in Vegas right now. I could just figure out how people in the Philippines are getting down all across the country. I wish America would group together, but they feel some way about Money Mayweather. But I'm going to save this for you. I said I had to get this off my chest, so I took off this blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside to catch a timeless is alive. Welcome to the Sports City Roundtable. I got to put that Rocky beat on. Let's go.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm 2 levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts, you making up slack.
In the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and Wild Wife, he was with him. You heard him up, the murderer, smooth shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. My killing's too blatant. You hesitating. I'm in your mama crib waiting.
Rest in peace. The rest in peace, man. I feel it's some type of way. We're going to be in everybody's mama crib watching this one. The caller number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes or so. And I know, Sports City, it might get crazy tonight. But I know I might have to extend this. If we get jumping here, I'm feeling some type of way. Because this is that Friday. I ain't going to lie. I don't like the spring because of allergies, but I'm doing good right now. But I'm feeling good because this fight is here. My boy pulls this one off. I don't want to hear what nobody got to tell me. But it ain't all about this fight. We got the NFL draft here. We got the NBA playoffs still. We got Game 7 going on in L.A., a.k.a. Hollywood, a.k.a. Tinseltown. I'm feeling some type of way. My Rangers just took one on the chin. I'm hurt. I'm at a sports smorgasbord. I'm about to go in a sport coma. I don't even know what to do. But Sports City, let me get into this show, man. I'm feeling some type of way. Calling in by way of the state of Virginia. You guys know I'm from the Keystone State. We got Aaron Simmons in the building. Welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
Yo, man, it's such a pleasure to be here with you all on the eve of Manny Pacquiao, Floyd Money Mayweather. Yo, man, fight. You know what I'm saying? We got so much to talk about, man. Again, the NBA playoffs, NFL draft. You know, the Rangers got caught with the Okie Doke yesterday. DMV is going crazy out here. Yo, it's bananas, man. I'm excited.
Oh, well, I ain't get to talk to you yet about the Penguins. How the Penguins doing?
I'm not too sure I heard you.
The Penguins, the hockey team that plays in Pittsburgh, where you're from.
Yeah, about that. I'm not just trying to say, no speaking English.
Okay. Sports City. Y'all know what I'm talking about. This is what I'm talking about. I have to be here. You know what I mean? These people be running. Even in Virginia, they be running. They be running in Virginia. But it's okay. It's okay, Sports City. I had to give him this fishing rod. He already know what they doing. He already know what they doing. Last but not least, I got my big brother calling in, and he's already making the trek back down I-95. So let's deal with him, Sports City. I got his back, so I'm going to try and take a lot off of his shoulders right now. Mr. Knight, a.k.a. Nostradamus Taylor, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
I hope everybody driving on 95 South spontaneously combusts if you choose to drive below the speed limit. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, it's crazy on 95, my dude. I'm on 95 North. Crazy.
Look, y'all two drive safe because I don't even want no crazy stuff happening, especially while we're here in the kitchen, because I will feel terribly distraught here in one way or another. And both of them, one's going north, one's going south. I already took my trek from south to north. I was on I-95 too. It's crazy. All three of us were on I-95 today. But either way, let's get into it. We got the Kentucky Derby. I know people don't watch the horses like that, but this is like the Super Bowl of horse racing. And half of the New England Patriots went down there with Tom Brady and Rob Gronkowski and them. That's going to be interesting to see how these horses pull out, who they end up going with. Of course, you got the NHL playoffs. Like I said, the Capitals came up here and stole one late with seconds on the clock. Henrique, I'm feeling some type of way. We're going to get into all this if we can, man. The NBA playoffs got an interesting game six. If Chandler's Borough of Brooklyn could get this job done and force a game seven, I think they put a lot of pressure on the Hawks if they could win this game. But the Hawks are I think they can actually pull this one out of Brooklyn, but I dig it to this plate. Last but not least, y'all already know this fight is on deck, so y'all buckle up, man. Y'all buckle up. Like I said, I got a lot on my mind. I'm so focused. This cookbook, if you will, I'll be spinning pages as best as I possibly can. But first and foremost, my big brother Chandler Knight came to me yesterday before we popped off with the Crossover Cafe, and he said, "Ty, you know what? I want to talk NFL draft." I said, "No problem, but let's save it for the roundtable." So without any further ado, Sports City, we are going to talk at least how people feel about their teams or picks that may have made them scratch their head or the surprise pick of the first round. Your thoughts on the NFL draft. Chandler, I'll let you start with this first. Your thoughts on at least the way your Jets went picking up Williams or any surprise picks. I know a lot of people that I spoke to today are still surprised about the Gurley pick. We actually talked about Gurley ending the Crossover Cafe last night. Very interesting pick for the Rams. But your thoughts on at least the first round of the NFL draft?
It wasn't a lot of trades, but there were some shocking picks. Leonard Williams falling to six, never saw that coming. Did not think that the Titans would hold on to their pick and draft Mariota, which to me doesn't make sense, but it's just another, in my opinion, indictment of Ken Whisenhunt, because you can't tell me that he's supposed to be some offensive genius. He is in his 7 years of head coaching. He's had 11 quarterbacks. How are you an offensive guru when you can't keep a quarterback? You keep changing quarterbacks. It doesn't make you a guru. It makes you an act. You have Mettenberger for basically one season. He gets hurt, so you got to go draft another rookie quarterback. How are you advancing the franchise? They were 2-14. They had one. Quarterback was not their biggest area of need. So that pick makes no sense to me. None at all. Jeff Fisher did what Jeff Fisher does, which is build a team built around defense and running. Atlanta, why you allowed that to happen, I have no idea. Because the Atlanta Falcons don't have a running game. They needed a running back, and they let one go. I don't get it. But I think most of the teams made really good picks. The Raiders with Amari Cooper, job picking him, although, you know, knowing the Raiders, he'll break his leg or something and never play.
I like Cooper.
I said I didn't like him. I said he got picked by the Raiders. Something bad's going to happen to him. You watch. There's a jinx on the Raiders, man. I'm telling you. But, I mean, there weren't a lot of trades, which was surprising, but I think St. Louis did a great job. The Jets, I'm glad they got Leonard Williams, but I'm not a fan of the fact that they're now, you know, they're and you know this is coming from the club. You know, the rumors about them trading Muhammad Wilkerson, which would be stupid because Muhammad Wilkerson is a Hall of Fame talent. You know what you're going to get out of Leonard Williams.
Right.
And so if the Jets trade Muhammad Wilkerson, Todd Bowles, I'm kneecapping you. Just so we're clear. If you hit Todd Bowles, get kneecapped, look for me.
Oh, goodness. Okay, any other pick that you had that surprised you in the first round or anything that is intriguing to you before I throw it this area?
The offensive lineman that the Giants got and Washington picking up an offensive lineman, I think that's those two guys were both left tackles in college, so I think it'll be interesting to see how they transition. But those were two interesting picks, I thought, because I didn't expect either one of those teams to go there.
Okay, Sirius, how do you feel about this NFL draft, at least in the first round, second and third are about to pop off today? Your Steelers didn't get to make a selection, but your thoughts on things that did go down throughout the NFL in the first round?
You know, honestly, again, I was shocked at the inactivity from the top half of the draft. You know, the Washington Redskins had the number 5 pick, and they selected the offensive lineman from Iowa. I honestly thought that was a tremendous reach for them. I believe they could have traded back and still would have got that pick and got some more picks for later on in the rounds. I mean, Scott McClellan and everybody, you know, had him high on their board for obvious reasons. I mean, I really believe that he's going to be a tremendous asset here in the Metro. The Todd Gurley pick again, Cam hit the nail on the head for me. I think that was a tremendous stretch. I'm not too sure what in the world Atlanta was doing. I'm not too sure what in the world the Rams were doing. You had a quarterback issue that you need to address if you're the Rams. I'm not too sure what in the world is going on there. So I'm not too sure why they decided to put the running back. My biggest issue, again, I'm a Steelers fan, and so I'm going to focus primarily on what the AFC North did. I think we all pissed the bed, if you will, as far as picks are concerned. Let me start with the Baltimore Ravens. You go out and get a receiver from Central Florida, and you draft him as high as you did, but yet this guy leaves the league and drops. You know, primarily all you did was replace the Torrey Holt type of talent, a guy who can just run the 9 route for you, and Joe Flacco can throw the ball up and play for pass interference calls. Not too sure about that move. The Cincinnati Bengals select the offensive lineman, or the defensive lineman. They didn't address the area of need, in my opinion, which should have been a linebacker. I believe it was an offensive lineman, if I remember correctly. The Cleveland Browns, in my opinion, made the best selection out of all four teams. If you were picking up a nose tackle, if you will, I believe that was a nose tackle that the Cleveland Browns picked up. And then my squad, of all the needs we have, we go outside passing linebacker with a dude by the name of Brett Dupree. Are you effing kidding me right now? We have so many needs on the defensive secondary. We don't have a corner. We just lost Tom Palomaro. And again, I came on this show and preached and raved and beat the drum for, you know, Shamarco, you know, Thomas and this, that, and the third. But let's keep shit 100, ladies and gentlemen. We had a premier talent, and Collins sitting right there. At our disposal, and we pass. We have a brother from Utah sitting right there at our disposal, and we pass. We have another defensive back from the University of Washington sitting at our disposal, and we pass. I don't understand what in the world Kevin Colbert was thinking. I don't understand what in the hell Mike Tomlin was thinking, but I do not, and let me emphasize this explanation, I do not approve of Dupree being selected at 22 for the Pittsburgh Steelers. If he would have done anything, if he would have went and got an offensive lineman, I swallow my whistle, I accept the pick. If we go out and get a wide receiver, or we go out and get a defensive lineman, I swallow my
Okay, Taylor, is there anything that you agree or disagree with the move that the Steelers have went with? Mind you, they are actually running thin at the linebacker position, so that is somewhat of a need for them. Do you agree or disagree?
Well, I mean, I see where Sirius is coming from. I mean, they could have gotten a good corner. Their secondary is suspect. The thing is, they have quite a few areas of need that they have to address, and linebacker is an area that they don't need to address. It's kind of a want need deal. Like when you have a little extra money and you want the PlayStation, but you need, you know, to pay your car insurance, kind of a deal, and you go out and get the PlayStation
right.
anyway, and then you can't figure out why you can't drive anymore. That's kind of what it's akin to. They wanted a linebacker. They didn't need one. And that's why the pick in many ways doesn't make sense. Because, again, they could have filled that in the following round. You know, they had some areas of need. They had some areas of need to address, and instead they filled an area of want, and that doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I definitely agree that in that secondary, not only is Polamalu gone, they have corners like Ike Taylor that's gone now, so they will have to figure out what they have to do. Defense, they have to build all around in Pittsburgh, so I want to see what they do throughout the remainder of the draft. If they do focus somewhere in the offense, and then I'll be surprised if they do make an offensive pick, but I think the Steelers doesn't need to worry, because I think they will be focused on that defense, let alone in the back end, worried about that secondary with at least TP, and not me, but Polamalu being gone and Ike being gone. They're going to need some guys that are fleet of feet and actually can break up passes and also lay the lumber, because that's been the moniker for the Steelers for, you know, the past couple of years, at least the past decade or so. Now, here goes an interesting pick in the first round that a lot of people are going to be like, well, Ty, you're being biased and you know, this is your team or whatever. But if people are not aware what the Indianapolis Colts did in the first doggone round, now, mind you, they already picked up Frank Gore. They already have T.Y. Hilton, and they got rid of Reggie Wayne. And they're bringing in Philip Dorsett, a guy that can lift the lid off of a defense. I think this is going to be huge for Andre and T.Y. underneath it. He doesn't even have to make a catch. All the defenses have to do is respect him. And normally, a lot of these defenses are going to come out with huge secondary packages. Let alone they got Frank Gore on turf now. Now they got Frank Gore on turf. I think that is a huge pickup for Andrew Luck in that offense. Now, Andrew Luck, here's the thing. And I hate to kind of point at you or make this a situation, but it is a true situation. I hope that you do not run into Tom Brady. That's the only problem that he faces. The past two seasons, Tom Brady and Bill Belichick has been able to go upside his head and put up 40 burgers like it's McDonald's or Burger King at the end of the day. But right now, I find it hard. Look, and I'm going to be fair here, Sportsy. I'm going to be fair. I find it hard for the Indianapolis Colts with the pieces that they have right now, being that these guys do stay healthy. If they do stay healthy, it'd be hard to hold them under 27 points a game. It'd be hard. And I'm being nice. This was Sports City purposes. I want to say like 35 or 38. I want to say that. If we were off there, I would say something clownish like that. But now that we're here, I'd say 27. Like you're really going to have to come up there with a stellar defense to get after these guys, and hopefully your offense will go shot for shot with them. But I'm definitely interested in to see how this offense is going to take off. Interesting that Taylor made an interesting poke at Mariota. I'm going to be honest. I like Mariota better than Mettenberger. We had this discussion previously in Sports City. We debated this, but I knew that this was something that would end up happening, that Marcus would end up beating the guy. Mettenberger just, he didn't have that confidence behind center. He may have made it some completions. He may have thrown a couple of touchdowns and moved the chains, so on and so forth. I think Mariota can actually end up being the face of Tennessee and actually getting these guys out of the cellar. Because almost every week that Tennessee played, this is something that me and Chandler were talking about in the green room. The Titans were 2-14. They were 2-14. So anything is better than what they had now. Anything is better than what they had now. So I think Mariota behind center is a definite improvement. I don't know if it's a big step by them being 6-10 or 7-9 or 8-8, but I think this is a start. But we'll see how the second and third round pans out. Now, the one that actually still has me biting my nails right now. The pick in the first round, it still has me biting my nails. And people might have overlooked this pick, but I talked to my big brother Chandler Knight about this one. The Chicago Bears picked up Kevin White, the 6'3" receiver out of West Virginia. Runs a 4.3, he's a physical receiver, he's a possession receiver, he moves the chains as well, he actually replaces Brandon Marshall also. Him, Alshon Jeffrey, and Forte, I think this could be a problem, but depending on how the quarterback play comes to play for the Chicago Bears, now this I could be a year late or a year early, because I was actually saying the Chicago Bears could do work in the North. This pick could actually help them, but they have a lot of work to do on the defensive side of the ball too, and I think Fox will definitely focus on what Chicago's areas of need are on the defensive side of the ball, but I think White was a huge pickup for the Chicago Bears. Any pick that you guys thought that I may have slipped up on or feel differently about or you know, want to over-exaggerate the situation, I'll let you have at it.
Let me ask you this, I spoke about what the Steelers did. Well, what do you honestly think about the Detroit Lions pick there?
Now, obviously, I was in the middle of the show, so I didn't see exactly what happened, but I was extremely pissed off, right, because I really thought that, hey, the Lions could have – this is how I really wanted it to go down Sports City, and I'm getting personal here. I'm going to get real personal, so just deal with me, Sports City. I wanted the Lions to get a running back because I know Drake Bell – is a monster running back. I like what he brings to the table, but he can't shoulder this load by himself. I was really hoping Melvin Gordon fell, and he was falling. We were on it. I said, Mayhew, if Gordon is in our lap, get him. And as soon as I said that, Chandler called me. He said, Ty, you know what happened? I said, what? He said, Melvin Gordon's going to the Chargers. You know that, right? I said, stop playing. So I was pissed off, right? So I'm like, okay, Abdullah is there, the running back out of Nebraska. They're saying a lot of people are coming from the Detroit camp saying that they are interested in a guy that I love so much, being Duke Johnson, but Duke is a scat back. So this is similar to what Reggie Bush brought to the table. So I don't know about Duke. Duke doesn't have that sturdy, power back type of position that I'm looking for, because Drake Bell is that type of guy. But I didn't know everything that happened and why Detroit dropped down 3 picks. Detroit ended up making a trade with the Denver Broncos, so they ended up picking up Manny Ramirez, one of their offensive linemen, who actually been stellar for them in the past couple of seasons with the Denver Broncos. And they ended up getting the guard from Duke, Tomlinson, who actually, I've seen the footage on him. He looks okay, but this was within the ACC. He's a solid size. He's 6'3", 320. He can move. He plays the guard position. Him and Warford could be problems up front. If he gets it quickly, this is the thing that bothers me with Detroit. Calvin's getting old. Calvin's going to be 30 at the start of this season. So I'm looking for pieces like, you know, playmakers, but they're looking to build up front first to protect Stafford, keep him upright so Stafford can make those throws downfield. But I definitely wanted to see at least a running back or go corner. But I feel this was still a pick, just like Chandler said, the need and the want situation, and we needed an offensive lineman. We actually need to structure this offensive line as best as we can. But I'm not too mad at the pick. I'm not too happy with the pick. I feel like this is something that, you know, I got to get by, but I want to see how the Lions move second and third round to help fill the void of what they may have missed. Sirius, your thoughts on the situation? I'm going to get Chandler here, and we also got a caller in queue as well, a chef in queue also.
You know, honestly, man, I thought it wasn't a bad pick for you guys, honestly. I mean, one of the biggest issues that you all had last year, honestly, was the offensive line play. I mean, yes, you guys, you know, had a high-powered offense, but, you know, at critical times where y'all needed to run the football, y'all couldn't. So I think that, you know, getting this guard from Duke is a tremendous boost for y'all. You know, if he's able to come in and play week one, he may be a, you know, a hybrid player. He may be able to play a little bit, tackle for you guys, you know, or this, that, and the third. I think that was a tremendous pickup for you guys based on the area of need. Curious to see what you guys do today and tomorrow You know, but, I mean, with your first-round draft pick being a guard, I really like that move for you guys, honestly.
Okay, Chandler, your thoughts on potentially what he addressed, and then I'm going to get a shot from here also.
Well, I think it was a good pick, especially once Scherf and the other kid that the Giants took, Flowers, were off the board. They moved back, and they got two players for the price of one. Because you got Manny Ramirez and you got the kid Tomlinson. And I'm going to throw a name at you running back-wise, Kevin Coleman from Indiana. He would be a perfect fit in the later round. So I think the Lions did a really good job. If you look at what they're trying to do with Stafford, they are trying to do exactly what the Cowboys did with Tony Romo, which is 25 throws or less. And how do you do that? Great offensive line, good running game. So I like what they're doing.
Okay, we got calling in from the West Coast. You guys know him as Nacho. Mr. Silva, welcome to the roundtable. How are you feeling this evening?
Hey, what's going on? Just getting off of work. It's a little loud. I'm still at the work site, which is the airport, so bear with me. Doing pretty good, doing awesome. Great day, great draft. As it pertains to the Lions, I don't care. Next question.
Oh, I didn't ask you that. I didn't ask you that. That's fine. I'm glad. I need y'all to overlook that. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Because from what I've seen, I've seen Cheese give up leads in less than 5 minutes. In less than 5 minutes, I've seen a lead get blown apart. So
you did. You did.
So, you know what, it's okay. You know what I'm saying? If he want to throw stones, he can throw stones. You know what I'm saying? But do not buck up that tree, because that tree will fall on you, okay? I'm just going to let you know that right now.
I didn't know why
they
were about to
fall on you. Okay,
You're warning the guy who just came off a Super Bowl win and 4 straight division titles not to worry about anyone in his division. Yes, right. I don't care about anyone.
When was that Super Bowl?
About 5 years ago, right before the fourth straight division title.
Okay. So you're talking about half a decade ago.
But I can ask you when yours was. When was yours?
Wait. Hold on. The fact of the matter is, we're talking about the draft, and you're talking about 5 years ago. Not a game. You talking about 5 years ago. Not a game.
I was actually talking about a specific game, the one that everyone tries to play in, which is the Super Bowl
that we won 5 years ago.
But if you want to get into it, I was just saying I don't want to talk about the Lions draft pick. I was just gesturing. But you want to take it as stones? Take it as stones. When you're at the bottom of the division every year, I get it.
Who's at the bottom of the division? You made the
playoffs.
Wait, hold on. We at the bottom of the division. We made the playoffs. Stop lying. Listen,
if you ain't
listen.
First, you last.
Hold on. I have a preacher's son on here. You cannot lie like that. You can't do that. If you ain't first, you last.
If you ain't first, you last. That's how I look at it.
No, here you go saying anything. You singing. Look. Okay. What were you singing before you got on the line?
What'd you say?
What were you singing before you got here? Because you were singing at the top of your lungs. You probably were singing Whitney Houston.
You know what I was singing? I just want to
bang.
I just want to bang on my drum all day.
Serious, here we go. Pineapple. I don't like it. Okay, so since you came in here acting like that, I was asked that question. I don't talk to my boy, but I was doing everything I was outside of it. Serious asked me a question about the Lions. Now, however you want to do the situation about the first round, surprise pick. A lot of people I know aren't too thrilled about the Gurley pick. Chandler actually thinks that's a big-time pickup. And looking at the buildup of how Fisher has been doing it since the Oilers and since he got to Tennessee, he always had built a sturdy ground game, so I understand where Chandler was coming from, so I respect that. But Gurley, along with Trey Mason now, Trey Mason is actually the smaller power back, while Gurley is the stat back that has power. So this is interesting, but the quarterback position, the foes down there, I want to see how this works out. They still have to work out what they're going to do with the receiver core. But your thoughts on the first round, let alone the picks that were made across the board in the NFL?
You know, I was just joking with you guys. But, yeah, the first round was awesome to me. The only thing, the only caveat I got out of it was the Niners are sitting there. Frank Gore walked out the door. You have no run game, and you got Melvin Gordon in your lap. So what do? You trade it away and go pick a guy you could have gotten the second round. I don't understand that. I don't get it. Why, you know, you got a perfect, you know, guy in Melvin Gordon fall straight to your lap. Not necessarily fall, but he's there for you. Like I said, you got Frank Gore walking out the door. If you're not going to get Melvin, at least pick someone who's first round worthy. I don't think Eric Armstead, in my opinion, would have been, you know, he'd still be there in the second round. So I think that, you know, the Niners didn't really do a great job on that one particular pick. That was the only one that really stuck out to me. I mean, just the fact that you have a franchise running back and Frank Gore walk out the door, and you could potentially have another one sitting in front of you, and you traded away to go get someone that you possibly could have gotten the second round, I just don't understand it. The other pick that really got me going was the Todd Gurley pick. I enjoyed it. I definitely thought he would go to Atlanta. I definitely thought he was a top 10 pick. The Rams shocked me and really impressed me with that pick. I know Zach Stacy didn't like it. You know, he tweeted out, yikes, and then now the agent's asking for a trade or what have you. So I know that wasn't a good thing, you know, for maybe the locker room perspective, but I think it's awesome for, you know, that team in general. Todd Gurley is going to be an amazing running back. You know, it's not a stretch to say he can win Offensive Rookie of the Year if he starts week one. So I think it's going to be a pretty good year for the Rams. Say it again.
Already? You already giving him Offensive Rookie of the Year already?
I thought he would win it. No, I thought he would win it before, as long as he was healthy by week one. And the main thing about him is if it wasn't for that leg, he would have been a top three pick. He would have been discussed about with these two quarterbacks as to go in the top three. I really do. And so I just think that that now that he's 100%, the teams have given him the full look over and saying everything, I do really think if he starts week one, he has the potential with that team, because he will be the workhorse to be the Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Yeah, but this first round was offensive heavy. You got Winston and Mariota, you got to worry about. Amari Cooper is still a barn burner at the wide receiver position. Everybody loves Derek Carr throwing the ball around, too. So we'll see how that pans out. Plus Kevin White, too. Like there's enough offensive players right now, at least before him, that I think can end up getting consideration. But this is going to be very interesting.
No, I'm not jumping the gun. I'm just saying those are good picks, but they got to get the ball. They got to get thrown the ball. All he's going to do is get the ball handed off to him a ton of times. We know Fisher's offense. He likes to pound the rock. I just think that's why. It's just because it's a perfect fit for Fisher, for the Rams, and for Gurley. And I think, if he starts week one, it's going to be Offensive Rookie of the Year capability. And, like, it's not a stretch for me to say that.
Okay, and one more before I get Taylor back in. How about Melvin Gordon? Back in a situation for the Chargers with Phillip Rivers. You got a home run hitter. The last time he had one was LaDainian. And everybody knows how LaDainian looked when he was with Rivers. He scored 32 touchdowns. Not to say Gordon's going to hit this, but if he sees a hole, corners and safeties have a tough time catching this dude. So you got to watch out for Melvin also.
Well, as soon as I heard the pick, I said if they win, Mr. Phillip Rivers isn't going anywhere. He'll move to L.A. I think this right here might have changed the whole landscape of Phillip Rivers not wanting to go to L.A. I think with the amount of production, with what Melvin Gordon and him, and like you said, since the last time he had a home run hitter, they were winning games and going to the playoffs. So I really do think that this could be the thing that changes his mind. The person, not necessarily the person, but the offensive juggernaut that they might become with Gordon, having to put eight in the box, and, you know, if you do that against Phillip, he can play pretty well. You know, we're not going to throw that elite word around because that'll be another debate. But I just think that with the Melvin Gordon pick, this really could change, especially if it clicks and they win games. This could change the way the way Phillip Rivers sees about moving if they do eventually move to L.A.
Okay, Mr. Knight, anything that you'd like to touch on from what you've heard with Nacho jumping in the kitchen, throwing a whole bunch of dishes around here?
Well, I mean, like I said, you know how I feel about the Todd Gurley pick for St. Louis. It's a great pick. and it allows them to not have to really worry about the quarterback play because all Nick Foles has to do is not turn the ball over.
Right.
I think the Melvin Gordon pick is insurance for when Rivers leaves because I truly believe the Chargers are taking a quarterback with their next pick. I think they're taking a quarterback, and I think it's going to be Hundley or Petty, whichever one is there. They're taking a quarterback.
Whoa.
Because Philip Rivers is not going to move to L.A. See, the thing is, it's about his kids. I don't care what you're talking about, winning. Fatherhood, parenthood trumps that for some guys. And for Rivers, it does. The reason he doesn't want to go to L.A. is about him homeschooling his kids, and he doesn't want to move his family, and he's not going to. That's just who he is as a person. I might not like him as a football player, but I have a lot of respect for him as a person. He's not going to L.A. with the Chargers. That's a wrap. So now you got a running back, you got good receivers, all you need is quarterback. Whether Rivers is there or not, you can still be competitive next year, even with the second-year quarterback that you're going to draft today.
So you think he's out of there?
Phillip Rivers, if the Chargers move to L.A., Phillip Rivers will not go. He had the opportunity to sign an extension, and he said, no, I'm not going to do that. Because he doesn't want to be contractually obligated to the Chargers if they move. He wants to go into free agency so that he can determine where he's going to play. He wants control over his destiny.
Hey, Chandler, real quick, I agree with you. But is it out of the realm to think that he could travel the 120 miles, you know, whatever it is, from San Diego to L.A.? They don't practice out hardly as much as it is anyway. I mean, is it that much to think that he would be willing to, you know, commute to work? I mean, it's, what, 4 or 5 months out of the year, you know, 1 or 2 days out of the week and then Sunday. Is that too much to think, or is it, like, not even an option?
Well, it's not an option for him. And that's the whole thing. It's he's making a choice that he doesn't want to do it. Listen, you're absolutely right. What's the big deal? From San Diego to L.A., it's 2 hours, man. Okay? And
yeah.
Brandon, with the L.A. traffic, will make it 3.5, okay? But the fact of the matter is you got enough money to get a really nice car so you can be really comfortable. You can get a driver if you want. It ain't that big a deal. People commute from San Diego to L.A. for work all the time. Okay.
All the time. Mm-hmm.
He used to travel from San Diego up to Carmel, all right? It should have been a 20-minute ride. It took me 45 minutes each way. I spent an hour and a half in the car every day, all right?
No,
people do that all the time. He's choosing not to. Mm-hmm. He's choosing not to. And for whatever reason, he don't want to. And you know what? He's got enough money. He's been in the league long enough where he can say that. And what are you going to do? But I agree with you, Nacho. Just commute. What's the big deal? Apparently, to him, it's a really big deal. He must really hate L.A. Maybe he got mugged there or something. I don't know. But he just hates Los Angeles. That's all I know.
Okay. Well, look, this is very interesting because, Philip, I'm a Rivers fan. I ain't going to lie, man. I felt that way since he got drafted, since Archie Manning came up there and started screaming, my son's not going to a losing team. And he ended up going to the Giants, and he ended up winning 2 Super Bowls, too. So Archie must have knew something, wink, wink. But hopefully Melvin Gordon keeps him there, or he wants to work with a young home run hitter. And if not, send him to Michigan. Hey, I think we can use him. I would love to use him. Anything else that you guys would like to talk draft-wise? Because I got a ton of dishes, y'all. I got to cook. Anything that y'all see within the second or third round that people need to be aware of before we jump away from the draft, or should
yeah,
I keep going?
Yeah, I just wanted – oh, sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off. I just wanted to get Chandler's opinion on Devin Smith.
On who?
Devin Smith. I believe that's who you guys picked in the second round, the wide receiver. Let me check.
Oh,
Sure.
I'm in the car, so I don't know what's going on with the draft.
At 37, the Jets select Ohio State wide receiver Devin Smith.
Oh, my God. Are you serious?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, boy. Anyway. That's a great pick. You know what? And the only thing that bothers me what the Jets are doing now is they didn't want to do this for Rex. That's the only thing that bothers me is they didn't want to do this for Rex. They didn't want to get skill position players for Rex. That is a great pick because we all know Eric Decker is inconsistent as all get out. He is inconsistent as all get out. He's not a top flight wide receiver. He's a good wide receiver. But you can't count on him to be there. You can't count on him to catch balls at important times. Devin Smith is, in my opinion, comparable to the two guys that went in the first round. He's steady. He's very talented. And we know that he can catch balls from anybody because he's had the ball thrown to by three different quarterbacks with three different styles of offense at Ohio State.
Right.
So for the Jets, that is a great pick. You know, everybody said, you got Brandon Marshall. Why you need another wide receiver? You can never have enough wide receivers like you can never have enough defensive linemen. So that's a great pick by the Jets.
That is interesting. You just made me look at it differently. So it's Decker, it's Brandon, and it's also the new pickup that they got with Smith as well out of Ohio State. This is interesting with a receiving core right now. You guys still have Curley as well, correct?
Yep.
This
So now you can go to those spread sets that fit what Geno Smith did in college. See, and this
right.
is why I said what bothers me what they're doing is they spent 2 years with Geno Smith not really getting him the type of players that he could play with that he was used to playing with. Now you look, you can go for a wide with full actual wide receivers, not Salam Hakim and some dude off the street or Greg Salas. And Decker and Curley, none of whom can get separation. You now have two receivers out of the four who can get separation now. Devin Smith can get separation. Brandon Marshall can get separation. Jeremy Curley can't get separation. I'm sorry. The great possession, he doesn't get separation. You know, now you can run the spread. You can have the mobile pocket. You got multiple threats to give him. This fits now if you really want to make your quarterback successful. You've just given him all the weapons he needs. So if Geno Smith fails now, it's all on him.
Okay. And anything else that you – go ahead, Chandler. I'm sorry.
No, that's it. I'm done.
Okay. Nacho, anything else that you'd like to address with the second round before I get moving from here?
No, I just wanted to get his opinion on that. I know we had the resident Jets fan, so I just wanted to get that opinion in. And apparently he loved it, so I love it too.
By way to start off the second round, Landon Collins lands in New York to the Giants at the safety position. I think that's a big pickup. T.J. Yeldon at the running back position, another home run hitter. He goes to Jacksonville. So I want to see if they keep this speed option offense going with Bortles. And knowing how Shoelace, a.k.a. Denard Robinson, actually started running the ball well, I want to see if they continue this with the offensive chemistry with Yeldon, because Yeldon could actually hit his home runs too. So this will be an interesting find if Jacksonville is ready to carry on with this success or stay at the bottom of the AFC South. Okay, Sports City, I know I got a lot to try and dish out here. I know I'm going to have to extend the show, of course. But like I said, we got the NBA playoffs. I felt some type of way because Chandler and some other notable chefs said that Milwaukee would actually end up taking out Chicago. But I want to see how you guys feel about not only did Milwaukee lose at home, and knowing that they're a young team being coached by a second-year coach in Jason Kidd, they lost at home. But they lost at home by almost 60 points. They lost by 54 points up against the Chicago Bulls team, who literally is only an hour away from Milwaukee. So it's almost like a home game for them. I want to see how you guys feel about it. As soon as I said I was going to go to them, but we just saw series as well. Hopefully we get them back. Chandler, I'll come to you first. Your thoughts on how Milwaukee, let up game six and now they're out of the playoffs. But to lose that big, I mean, that is a head-scratcher for me.
Well, what I saw was a young team that got overwhelmed in the moment. See, down 3-0, you win a game. You're playing with house money at that point. You're still carefree and loose. You win the second game. Now it's 3-2. Now it gets serious because now we can tie the series up. We can tie it up. We might be able to get to game seven. Now you think, And they came out and played tight. I watched the first 10 minutes of that game. They missed 7 layups. They were missing bunnies. The guys were taking open jump shots and missing the rim. That team basically came unglued. You saw the inexperience. With Giannis getting thrown out for what he did against Dunleavy. I know Dunleavy hit you in the face. You can't tackle him and get kicked out of a game. You can't do that. What we saw was why everybody else told me I was crazy for picking the Bucks, because they weren't ready yet. And they weren't ready. They man, look, when you see a team shoot that badly and score that few points in a playoff game, I don't want – you got to say choke. But when it's a young team, what you say is the moment was too big for them, man. The moment was too big, and it showed.
Okay, Nacho, anything that you have to address toward that game, or should I keep it moving?
You know, nothing really special about the game. Just, you know, I really just have to reiterate Chandler's comment. I just started watching the first few minutes, saw all those, you know, easy misses, and just I saw the writing on the wall and stopped watching. So, you know, great game by Chicago. Milwaukee just overwhelmed by Chandler.
That's not overwhelming. That's a beatdown. That is a slaughterhouse massacre. The Bulls averaged 30 points a quarter. 30 points a quarter, y'all. All throughout the game. Ridiculous. I've never seen scoring like that on the road. On the road like that. But just like we all agree, they're a young team, and second-year coach is Jason Kidd. I give you a ton of credit. The Bucks will be a team to watch out for next year because Jabari Parker comes back, and he didn't get to play as much of this season as people would have liked him to. Him and Giannis Antetokounmpo, I think they could be a dominant 2 and 3 power punch. Whoever sits on top at the point guard position, more likely, I think it could be Mayo. But we'll see how that does end up panning out.
Hey guys.
Yes, sir.
Oh, sorry. Didn't mean to cut you off. But I just wanted to ask real quick about the game. The flagrant 2 by Giannis, was that just emotions, or is that him as a player and a person?
Yeah, Mike Dunleavy punched him in the face at the other end of the court previous to that, and the refs didn't call it. So what
okay.
he did was he lost control. And this is what I'm talking about where the young team and the inexperience came up, because did you see what he did to Dunleavy? He just basically tackled him.
He was hyped before the draft.
He hit him so hard, I was about to say incomplete pass.
I'm trying to hit him. Listen, he separated the man from the ball, okay? That was a young guy. And this is where all of the inexperience, all of the tightness, them coming unglued at the seams, that was the perfect example of it. And the fact that the coach did not know how to get him out of it, because he's only a second-year coach.
Okay, how do you feel about it, Nasa? Knowing that your football team plays up there, do you think they need a strong safety playing Antetokounmpo?
Yo, I was just, as soon as it happened, I was seriously thinking, man, sign him. We need some linebackers. We need somebody that can hit. You know, I was ready. You know, I thought, hey, he could do the NBA season, travel the, you know, whatever, a few hundred miles to Green Bay, play the NFL season. You know, he might have a little trouble there in November and October, but, you know, like I said, there's only 2 or 3 practices a week and 1 game on Sunday, so it's not too hard.
Terrible. You want a 6'9" string bean. And he laid out another string bean at Dunleavy, because Dunleavy don't weigh but nothing but 170 pounds, too. Both of them string beans. Okay. Taylor, your take on how your borough takes care of business, or do they get sent fishing? How do you feel the Atlanta game, with Atlanta coming to the Barclays Center to play up against the Nets today?
The Nets are going home. Deron Williams had his one good game of the playoffs, and like I told you, he would disappear the next game, and he did. That is a soft team. I don't care what anybody says. I don't want to hear about, they didn't show anything. Atlanta, honestly, is not at full strength, and it shows. they put them away tonight because the Nets don't have the heart, and Lionel Hollins does not have a mentally tough team. So Atlanta puts them away tonight, and we can all move on with our lives.
Wow, and he is being so critical to his Burrow, man. Jesus. Nacho, how do you feel? And then I'm going to get into this fight. And then I think we do, we can close out on time. But your thoughts on this game tonight, Atlanta coming to Brooklyn to try and close out this series, or do the Nets force a game seven?
You know, as it pertains to the East Coast, the Brooklyn Nets and the Atlanta Hawks, I gotta defer to Nostradamus. Brooklyn Nets go home. Just like I definitely agree with them. They got no heart. They got no mental, you know, strength. So I definitely do think they just go be sent home tonight. Like I said, I gotta defer to Nostradamus on this.
Okay, Lionel Hollins, if you're listening, I really hope you got some PR guy listening or whatever. Listen to me, okay? This is what you'll do to win Game 6, to force a Game 7, right? And this is what it'll probably have to carry over into Game 7 for you guys to win the series. Okay, first and foremost, this is what we're going to do. You have to start Jared Jack. He can no longer come off the bench because you have a scoring sensation sitting behind D. Williams, and D's not doing anything consistently. D had that 135-point blow-up. He's not consistent. His name is out of that top 15. He can have that one blow-up game all he wants. He's not a top 15 point guard in the league. He's not. I'm sorry. Number two, I want you to look Joseph in his face. If you don't know who Joseph is, just check the roster. You'll know who I'm talking about. If you know me, you know who Joseph is. And look at Joseph in his eyes and say, see what happens when you shoot the ball? You actually can knock down shots. Stop passing the ball. Shoot that crap. Because you're a hell of a shooter, there's no way that you could be passive with a jump shot like that. When he starts taking shots, they fall. They fall, Joseph. They fall. You got one of the best strokes in the game. I don't know why you're passive. Please, somebody give me that rotation. Please give me that jump shot rotation. I will shoot in front of everybody. I don't care who it is. I will cross you up and shoot the ball. But Joey, he's so passive. He's so team player-ish. He needs a taste of, like Chandler told me the other night, he need to taste his own blood one time. Like, somebody got to smack Joe in his face, let him taste his blood, and go off. Now, I think that'll be it. If he does that, I think the rest of the team will follow. And Jared Jack is the leader of this team. Jared Jack is the guy. He's the general of that floor. It's no longer D. Williams. I think like this, and I'm going to say this and get moving from this horse city. In 2 years, I don't know about next year, but in 2 years, D. Williams will be gone off of the Nets. I think D. Williams is done. I think he'll end up somewhere else in the NBA. I don't know where. I don't know what team he'll end up fitting, but it's no longer that he can lag around and soak up money like that. I just think they're going to try and deal him. I really do.
Hey, Ty?
Okay. Yes, sir.
I think Deron Williams and Brook Lopez will be gone after this season. They are not the type of they're not the type of players that Lionel Hollins can win with. Neither is Joe Johnson, but he'll keep him. But Deron Williams will not be on that team, and neither will Brook Lopez, because they both are too passive. The only players on that team that fit the style of play that Lionel Hollins wants to play is Plumlee, Teletovich, Jared Jack.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Okay.
The rest of that roster? Go ahead.
No. I was about to say, this is interesting because I want to see if D. Williams leaves this season. That'll be crazy. I was giving him one more run with Lionel, but if you see him going sooner, that's very interesting. And they've been talking about getting rid of Brook Lopez for a while. But if they let him go, I want to see what big they get to fill the void in the middle of the paint. That is something I do want to see. Well, Sports City.
Trade up Andrew Bogut.
You said for Bogut? Cut it out.
Trade him for Bogut. Head up. Brook Lopez fits what Golden State does better than Bogut does. Bogut fits what Lionel Hollins wants to do better than Lopez does.
Right. Because Bogut is more of a scoring type, and Brooks is play as it comes. I like that. That'll be interesting, but I don't know if the front office of the Warriors will buy into that. That would be interesting. Sports City, we have the mega fight tomorrow. I can't sit on it, man. I basically got to the end of the show. We're going to run a little overtime. I extended it just so we can all clear our lungs on this situation because we'll have to talk about some of this tomorrow. I want to save a lot of this for tomorrow so you can come around and check me and your boy Nacho here at the food fight because the last episode on Sunday, amazing work. But Chandler, as we get ready to shut this joint down, your thoughts on this mega fight with Mayweather versus Pacquiao? They just did the weigh-in, and let me tell you, this is the first time they've ever charged people to go to a weigh-in, and the MGM Garden Arena was completely packed. Completely packed. Completely. Like, they are going to see these dudes weigh 147 pounds and paying for it. Like, really. So your thoughts on this fight. This is just a weigh-in. I mean, Vegas is already going crazy. They said that, listen to this, people. This is how crazy of a money magnet this fight is, let alone both of these boxers. For the event of this fight Saturday night, rooms in Vegas averaging out to $1,000 a room. All across Vegas, not just in the MGM, like, all across Vegas, $1,000 rooms. Everybody is loving this. Like Las Vegas is the place to be right now. That is the place to be. But Taylor, your thoughts on how this goes down, at least from all of the hype and everybody speaking on it, the time has come now.
Well, you know how I feel about Mayweather. He's a coward. I want him to lose because I will never root for a man that hits women. So, you know what I'm saying? If you told me he got hit by a bus, I'd applaud. As far as the fight goes, the referee is the type of referee that benefits Mayweather. He's a guy who gets in and breaks it up really quickly, which plays into what Mayweather does because he wants to throw a couple of punches and then lock up, have the ref break it up so he can start over. I want Pacquiao to win. I think that Pacquiao is going to have to knock him out. Pacquiao is going to have to carry the fight to Mayweather. He's going to have to cut that ring off and go and take the body. He's going to have to. He's going to have to get into his body. But I honestly believe that this is going to be a boring fight because of the style of Mayweather, because Pacquiao's not the guy that knocks people out anymore. He's not that guy. And if he can't get into Mayweather's body, all we're going to see all night long for 12 rounds is a bunch of clutching and grabbing. That's honestly what I think is going to happen. I think this fight is going to be a letdown. I don't think it's going to be a great fight. I think it's going to be one of those classic fights that people are talking about for years. I think it's going to be – people are going to be really, really disappointed with this fight when all is said and done.
Okay, Nacho, I can't get too much out of you today, so – anything that you like to touch on that maybe Chandler has said, because I need you to save a lot of what you're going to cook for tomorrow.
Sorry about that. I'm in the car and we're taking off. But, yeah, I don't want to give too much away. Chandler, I'm with you 100%. I believe it's over 10 counts of sexual assault, domestic violence. But I don't really care for the guy in general as a person. But as it pertains to in that squared circle, 20 to 22 feet, whatever Floyd Mayweather decides to make it this time, it's going to be a good fight. The boringness, I don't think Pacquiao is going to let it be like that. Floyd Mayweather, he's going to want to make it boring again. Manny, he's not going to let it be like that. It's going to be one of those fights where you're going to see Manny attack, and I think he hit it on – I'm getting too much into it, but I don't want to get too far – with the Kenny Bayless,
okay.
I think it'll be better. I think it'll be better than some people are thinking about when it comes to Kenny Bayless. Just give him a chance. I know what he's got in the bag. I know what's on tape already. Let's just give it a chance. He's a professional. I hope he can come through this one time for us and let this fight happen the way it should. And, you know, all other than that, I don't want to give too much.
Okay, well, give me a plug and close out as we shut down the kitchen because I know you're in the car and I don't want to be disruptful to the people, so I want you to get home easy. You know what I'm saying? And I'll see you tomorrow.
You know what? I'll see you tomorrow, and we're going to have a great show. You know, the food fight is going to be awesome. We're going to have, you know, it's It's going to be fulfillment to the highest degree for me. This is a fight that's been in the making and me wanting it for the past 4 or 5 years. And one quick caveat I will mention to Chandler, he hasn't been knocking out people in regards to Manny because he's been waiting for this fight as well. You know, it's one of those things where Manny doesn't want to, you know, Manny didn't want to fight anyone else but Floyd for the past 5 years, and he's been stepping into the ring with other people just to do it. So he's still got the knockout power. He's still got the speed. He's still got everything you want to throw at him. So this is going to be an amazing fight. At Nacho on the Box on Twitter, at Nacho on the Box on Instagram, follow me. You know, we're going to have a great show tomorrow. We'll think of the time. I think we might have to make it a little later, Ty, but, you know, as soon as we get it on, it'll be, man, buckle your seatbelts and get ready. This is going to be an amazing show.
Just get home and holler at your boy, man. We're just cousins and get this out to everybody. They'll see us slugging like crazy. Sports City, y'all
yes,
stay
sir.
Tuned. Mr. Knight, give me a plug. Close out. Here we shut down the round table. Another epic episode. And I hope I can get you in for the fight show tomorrow. If not, I'll definitely see you Sunday or Monday.
Yeah, I'll try to be there. It just depends on if I ever get out of the state. How big is this damn state of North Carolina? I've been driving for hours. I'm not out there. Are you kidding me? That's always a lot of fun. You know, Nacho coming through. You know, man, right now, I still got 150 miles of driving to do. I really want to get out of this car. Had a lot of fun tonight, man. Thanks for keeping me occupied for an hour or so on this drive. And guys, have a good night.
You got two and a half hours. Just do the limit, no tickets, no troopers, because they don't play in the South. They don't play, and you dark skin. No, I'm joking. I'll take it back, Sports City. I apologize. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. We'll be back here tomorrow with the Sports City Food Fight. Epic episode went down Sunday. I hope the same people come back and check us out tomorrow. And this is basically steps away from the fight. Today we are in the Maypac Eve, if you will. Tomorrow, no holds barred, it goes down. On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
One, two. Check me out right here, yo.
Yo, the sun don't shine forever, but as long as it's here, then we might as well shine together. Better now than never, business before pleasure. P. Diddy and the fam, who you know do it better. Yeah, right, no matter what, we airtight. So when you hear something, make sure you hear it right. Don't make an ass out of yourself by assuming our music keeps you moving. What are you proving? You know that I'm two levels above you, baby. Talk me, baby, I'ma make you love me, baby. Talking crazy ain't gonna get you nothing but choke. And that jealousy is only gonna leave you broke. So the only thing left now is God for these cats. And babe, you know you're too hard for these cats. I'ma win cause I'm too smart for these cats. While they making up facts,
in the commission, you ask for permission to hit him. He don't like me, him and wild wife, he was with him. You heard about the murderer, smoke shady. Been on the low lately, the feds hate me. The son of they say my killing's too blatant. You hesitating, I'm in your mama crib waiting. Duct taping, your fam, destiny lays in my hands. Cat lays in my way. Francis, M to the is H phenomenal. Gun rest under your vest, body abdominal. So I can buy a few cars, then I kick a few flows, so I can pick a few holes. Excellence is my present. Never tense, never hesitate. Leave a nigga bent, real quick, real sick. Wrong nights, I perform like Mike. Anyone, Tyson, Jordan, Jackson, action, bad guns, ridiculous. And I'm quick to bust if my ends you touch. Kiss a girl you touch, in this world I clutch. Q-Auto, Matt Toes. Call me Fatso, now you call me Castro. My rap flows, militant. Y'all faggots ain't killing shit. Oops, Cristal keeps spilling shit. You overdid it, Holmes, you in the danger zone. You shouldn't be alone. Hold hands and say it like me. The most shady, Frankie baby. Fantastic, graphic, try to make dough like Jurassic. Parked in, pick the spark kids who start shit. See me, only me. The underboss of this holocaust. Truly yours, Frank White.
I got the real life shit from front to back. Where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at? We got the real live shit from front to back. To my people in the world, where the fuck you at? Where my niggas is at? Where my niggas is at? Where the fuck my bitches at? Where my bitches is at?
Break it down, set it up, get your laugh on. See you later, dog, I'ma get my stash on. There's a bag full of money that I get my ass on. I never